What woman of Allah, yes?
No, for you.
Very good. Okay.
Lech
lecha. Lech lecha. Tanach le talmidim. Okay. Buch ato Adonai Elohim, melech haolam, she'akol niya bidvaro.
Amen.
So because of what happened to me this week, I have to, you know, everything that happens, it doesn't happen just for the sake of happening. It's a lesson. And the question is, what is the lesson? So first of all, it's a lesson, a personal lesson. Then, because I give shiurim, it's also regarding others, because otherwise, it has to. We have to learn something out of it. So first of all, Parshat Shavua. What is the Parshat Shavua? Lech Lecha. What is the idea of Lech Lecha? Avraham Avinu, the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him, you have to go, leave your home, and go to a place where I will show you. And he leaves his place and he goes. And the interesting point is, when we're talking about Lech Lecha, the idea is, the Zohar HaKadosh says, that Avraham Avinu is like the neshama that comes down to this world, put it in a body, and then you go on your way, Lech Lecha. And your way is going through those 10 tests that Avraham Avinu is going. Each one of us has got his own tests. Mm-hmm. Some of them are difficult, some of them are easier. And I'm not trying to compare tests, because that's not the issue. The issue is, how do we deal with those tests? So, for example, this week, I had this burglary. So the first thing that you do, you get into panic, you know, and you check what happens. And the third floor was all, like, ruined. So everything on the floor. And the first thing, you're really getting very angry. Why did it happen to me? You know, why this? And then you hold on and you think, who knows what should have happened, what was decided up there in heaven. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes, he says, you know, this guy, I have to teach him a lesson. So there are a lot of ways to teach a lesson. And unfortunately, there are better ways and worse ways. And here, like the Kodesh Baruch Hu tested us, in, if you think about it, at the end of the day, in a very easy way. Why do I say in a very easy way? The first floor was not touched. The second floor was not touched. Normally, when they go into a house, they break everything. The third floor, where we live, was also in a whole balagan, but after we organized everything, no damages. Of course, all the jewels went. And some of them, and it's not, let's say, how much they cost. Yeah. Some of those jewels go into the family. Yes, and it's the engagement ring, and all those things, gone.
Thank God you weren't in the house.
Yes. So I say to myself, Baruch Hashem, Gamzu Letova. We don't know what God is planning for us. And who knows, if I accept it in the right way, so this is going to be the test, and then we go on and we get, let's say, easier tests. Two days ago, we've been in a wedding. A very fancy wedding. All the women, nice clothes and nice jewelry. And my wife.
Without jewelry.
Our jewelry. So, how do you take it? So Avraham Avinu is teaching us a big lesson. The Midrash says, Lech lecha rishon ke lech lecha acharon. The experience of, or the test, if you want to make it right, the last test of Avraham Avinu is also, Lech lecha el har amorah ve'aleu sham lo'olah. It says, take Yitzchak, take your son that you love, and take him, lech lecha el eretz amoriah. It's also in lech lecha. And the beginning is also lech lecha. So what's going on here? And you know what Lech Lecha, what says Rashi? Letovatcha, for your own favor. I can understand the first test, that is for his own favor. Why? Kodesh Baruch is telling him, Lech Lecha ma'atzcha v'lecha b'tavicha, el arz asherecha, ve'escha legoi gadol, and I will bless you, and give you, and you will multiply, and all the blessing of the world. Okay, this is a beautiful thing. But the last test, take your son and sacrifice him to me? How can you compare those two tests? So in order to understand this, we have first of all to understand what is letovatcha. What is for your own favor? What is favor? What is good? What is bad? So the first thing to understand is this world is a temporary world. That's not the real world. The real world is the next world. We are here to prepare ourselves for the next world. In other words, whatever happens to us in this world is for one reason, that we will build ourselves, stand in all those tests, and get to the end in a good, how do you say?
In a
good stage, so we can go up to heaven and say, we did it. So each one of us has got his own test. Now, how do we know, or how do we learn from Avraham Avinu that it was for him the same? Because the idea is that Avraham Avinu is taking it the same way he's taking the first test, he's taking the last test. And this is very hard to tell him, take your son, and he takes it the same way. Oh, Rebbe Nishan, what is he? So, don't like to say, is he stupid or something? What, it's your son? Doesn't matter, even if God tells you, you take it the same way. Even if you do it, you still have some feelings. It's your son. And it's a different thing than go leave this place that everybody hates you and go to a beautiful place where everybody's going to love you and you're going to be blessed. The Torah uses phrases, and each phrase the Torah uses has got a meaning. So it's called Vayomer Hashem El Avram. Wherever it's written Vayomer, and God said to Avram or told Avram, you know, this you cannot translate this. Vayomer is if it is a good thing. If you get elevated, if you're going to get rewarded, it's something good. And really here, what is God telling him? Something very good. Leave this place and go to a place where I'm going to bless you and give you all the fortune of this world. And when the Torah is using the phrase ledaber, diber, vaydaber, it's also talking, but that's a different phrase. It means something hard, something difficult, an order. Now look what Avraham Avinu is doing. Vayomer, that's God telling Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, vayelech Avraham, and he goes, has God, amar lo, kasher diber elav Hashem. He doesn't care about the fortune. He doesn't care about the reward. He is doing it for only one reason. God said, I have to do it, I'm doing it. Doesn't matter if I'm going to be a millionaire because of it, or if I have to take my son to sacrifice him to God. Now, we have to understand what exactly is standing in this point. Because now we think, okay, the last one is much harder. No, not necessarily. Because if they tell you, and you know, if the Torah tells you he did as God ordered him to do, and not as he told him to do, it means that that's what he did. Now, I want to ask you, if somebody promised you to be millionaires and get all the beautiful things of this world, wouldn't you be happy inside about it? Wouldn't you do it? Okay, maybe because he ordered you to do it, but also there is a good feeling inside. But the Torah said, Avraham Avinu didn't care. And this is, if you think about it, this is a real test. Because otherwise, what test is it? It's not exactly a test. But this is, if you can take all the joy and the good things that are going to get out, like physical, from this thing, and you put them aside, and the only reason you do what you do is because God ordered you to do, this is a great, great test.
No teu lugar de afur, it is afur. Someone in Brazil, yes. A millionaire. Yes. Not that he has nothing, but a millionaire.
Yes. Yeah.
And God came to him and said, you need to go to Israel because there you'll be, or he is sick or is something, there you'll be. I promise you that you will get your health back and you will be happy and you will procreate a family this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll come.
You're asking me?
I tell you,
but
you don't care.
Some people contacted
because
you.
He's a millionaire in Brazil. He's fine. Uh-huh. He's fine.
But you say, but you say he's ill.
Yes.
No.
But the.
But he doesn't care about his health.
Because here is Abraham. He had Emunah Shalem.
That's what we're talking about.
But here.
You're talking about Brazil. Go to New York.
Yeah.
Go to New York. People sit there. They don't even care about Eretz Yisrael. You know, this the rabbi that gives us a shiur in the morning, he asked somebody, he told him, he couldn't believe it that they don't care about Eretz Yisrael. So what's their answer? You're talking about tzaddikim. What's their answer? When the Mashiach will come, Eretz Yisrael is going to go all over the world. In other words, New York is going to be Jerusalem.
Ah, yeah.
A very good excuse. A very good. Yes. That's their excuse.
That's why they said it.
You see, that's Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara. You always find a way how to find the reason to put you there, and that's exactly what Abraham is teaching us. When I take all the benefits out of the picture, and the only thing that is left, what God wants me to do, they wouldn't stay in New York. Because everybody needs common sense. Take your Yetzer Hara away and ask yourself, what does God want you? Want you to be in New York with all the millions and the nice life? Or God maybe thinks that you as a Jew are better off to come to Eretz Yisrael. What do you think? What do you think? You are here.
Yes.
You did it.
Yes.
Why did you do it? Because you understand that Am Israel, Eretz Israel, and Torah Israel have to be together. The Gemara says, one who lives abroad in Chutz Laretz is like somebody who's got no God. Dome she'en lo Eloha. Yes. It's so unbelievable how the Yetzer Hara works on everybody in a different way. And that's a test. And you see, this is a test of being millionaires. But they don't do the test. They had find a solution. First of all, we wait for the Mashiach. Then, what's the problem? The Gemara says that Bacharit HaYamim, Eretz Israel is going to go all over. It's going to be much bigger. Okay.
But also they have they give a lot of tzedakah to Israel. No,
not everybody.
Not everybody, and even if they give, it's another thing to quiet your conscience. Okay, I stay there. I'll give them a few dollars. Okay, I did my.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You have to understand. Everything is a test. So some of us, God tests us. He gives us everything, and He looks. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to deal with everything you got? Are you going to find a way to go around it, or you're going to look straight and understand, even though I have everything, I have to do the right thing? And that's exactly, it's also another point. When we talk about Lech Lecha Marzecha Yeratchayim Bet Avicha, this is something that goes on forever. Because he leaves his place, he goes to another place, and this is a mission that he's got. It's not something that you do in 1 minute. Akedat Yitzchak is a test of 1 minute at the end of the day. In other words, it's also teaching us that in life you have two sort of tests. One is, how do you live your daily life? What is your normal Lech Lecha? And sometimes you need to do something extreme. But you do it and that's it. Now, what is easier to do? What? Something that goes on forever, or something that you do and you finished. So in other words, every test has got the good in it and the bad. Or it depends. So God is telling us through the Parsha, because the Parsha is not a story about Avraham Avinu. The same as all Sefer Bereishit is not a story about our fathers. It's a book that teaches us how to behave. And they tell us, Avraham Avinu is the neshama that comes to this world, and you're going to go through 10 tests that are going even to be, look, maybe they will look even more. And one of those tests is the Lech Lecha itself. How do you walk? What do you do every day? And then you will have here and there tests that are going to be for 2 minutes, 1 day, 2 hours, who knows? So in other words, whatever we go through is one big test. So in my case, I had this with a burglary. Everybody's got his own tests. And I'm not comparing tests. I'm just, God did what he did in order to teach me a lesson. Or to make me to go through a test and understand what is important. Is the possession important more than my life? Baruch Hashem, I wasn't there. So nothing happened to me, nothing happened to my wife. Then, at the end of the day, the only thing that was taken is jewelry. Okay. Can we live without jewelry?
Yes.
Gadi, we had also burglary.
Yes.
So I said it was a kapora. Do you know what a kapora is?
Kaparat avonot, we say.
That was it. That,
yes.
Thank God.
Of course.
Other people have tests, God forbid, they're sick there. It didn't affect me. It was a kapora.
But that's the way we
that's
should.
The way you've got to look at
yes, but it's not, I'm saying again, it's not easy.
It's not easy, but I don't care. I don't care.
Again, that's what the parsha is trying to tell us. That we should understand and realize that we go through tests in life.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said,
and I still love God.
God is not testing us if we cannot. There is another point. I'm writing about it this week. A lot of people think that. I think we talked about it before Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. A lot of people think that to go through a test is to be successful. In other words, God tests me and I have to go to the good result. And if I don't get the result, I fail the test. And it's wrong. It's written, La'amod benisayon. Stand in the trial, in the test. Not written, La'atzliach benisayon. That's not what's written.
So you just got to get
sorry to tell you, that's not what's written.
You just got
to
get through it.
No. You have to deal with it.
Deal with it.
Deal with it. The minute you deal with it, you are already standing in the test. It's like you see, you have a test at school, in school or university or wherever. Now, you can go to the test and get from 150, you can get 90, you can get 100. But you can also not go to the test. Or go to the test and do nothing. Now what is better? The one who doesn't go to the test at all? The one who sits in the test and does nothing? Or the one that tries and at least he achieved 50, 60, 70, whatever. What is better? It's a very interesting point if we think of it philosophically. If we would know that the success is the only way we know if we did the test or not, a lot of us will go with the head in the earth, depressed, and do nothing. Because what Yetzer Hara is doing? God tested you. You couldn't do it. You failed. Now there is another test. You failed already. Don't even try. So who won now? Yetzer Hara. But if I understand that this is Yetzer Hara, and I had a test, and I tried, and I wasn't very successful. But then, I understand that I tried. I stand in the test. That's that. When I get another test, I said, 1 minute. That's another test. God is testing me again. And the same way that I tried last time, I'm going to try now also. Because God is not checking if I am getting 100 in the test. God is checking if I am fighting, if I am dealing with it, if I'm doing something.
Yeah, but you get the result. You grow. In every test.
Of course.
But
that's not the result that people think. That's the problem.
Okay. Of course.
That's exactly the point. Yeah. Of course there is a result. The minute you try, you're going. That's the Lech Lecha. What is Lech Lecha? Lech Lecha also means go on and on and on. It's not Lech. Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha. Lech. Go. If, you know, you're riding a bicycle. When you stop riding, what happens?
You fall.
That's Lech Lecha. You stop walking, you stop going, you fall. Yetzer Hara is waiting for it. So the first lesson from our parsha is Lech Lecha Ma'arzecha. Get up and go. And whatever God is telling you or testing you, do your share and don't worry. Even if you're not successful. It's like we say about learning Torah. And when we end the Masechet, we say, אלה רצים ואנחנו רצים, הם רצים לבאר שחת, אנחנו רצים they run and we run, they work and we work, but they work for nothing, they run for nothing, but we are getting the reward for what? For the running, for the doing, not for the result. If I manufacture a chair and after I put into it 10 hours, okay, the last minute I did a mistake and the machine cut the chair, now I have a broken chair. Is anybody going to pay for it?
No.
In other words, all the hours I put into it, waste. When I learn Torah, when we sit here in the lesson, even we don't understand anything, do we get reward?
Yes.
Of course. Even if we don't understand. If somebody learns 100 pages of Gemara, reads 20 times Sefer Tehillim, doesn't understand anything, is he going to what reward?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Yes.
By the
effort. Of course. You know, it's not
because
an excuse. Yes, but again, for the effort. The idea is very simple. It doesn't mean that, okay, from this day on, every lesson I'm going to go, I'm going to sleep. I'm in the lesson. Yes, I'm going to get rewarded anyway. So I didn't put any effort into it. Or I listen in half ear. And then I'll play with my phone. I do it sometimes. What can I do?
But it was a rap I heard that he said that someone used to go to the shul and sleep. And he used to go to give the drasha and he was sleeping. Then he said that at least he's in the shul. And even sleeping, he takes some.
You remember what I told you once. There is the story with this guy who used to come every day to a late lesson at night, and the minute he went, the rabbi started talking, he went to sleep. So one day the rabbi asked him, why do you come? And he gave him a different answer, and he said, I have kids, they see me working the whole day, but they also see that after all the work, father goes to learn, and that's what goes into him. Even if I sleep, they know that I did the effort. After the whole day, they understand how important it is to learn.
Mm-hmm. The effort.
But it, that's a good idea. You cannot. That's not an excuse for all the lazy. Says, okay, I'm going to go to the lesson. I'm going to sit there, do nothing. That's not the idea. The idea is to understand that we are being tested. And the test is, do we put any effort into it? And that's it. They work and we work. But working, you have to work. Results, don't care about the results.
Marty had this friend in America. They Staten Island, they used to go to a shir. And he would come and he would put on his tape and he would go to sleep. He had 7 children. His wife wouldn't let him out of the house by himself without the children, except if he was going to a shir. So he'd go to the shir, he'd sleep, and he'd put it. He says when he had time, he'd open up the tape and he'd listen.
What you gonna do? Mary went to shul and he was always sleeping, and the rabbi called his shamus and he said to him, you know, it's time to go home. Why is Mr. Cohen sleeping? He says, well, you put him to sleep, you go and tell him to wake up.
Tell me what the lie that the Abraham made. Saying that the Sarah is his sister is also a test.
Of course.
He hasn't an option, yes?
Everything is a test.
How he realized that if he say that she's a sister and then they will not kill him
to take the sister, yes.
This is a test.
Yes.
But how he...
The question is, why did he take his wife at all? That's the question.
Yeah.
If you know that she is a beautiful wife and you take her to a place which
there is
a danger
where they were living.
Okay, so go by yourself. Leave Sarah at home and go by yourself and bring money, whatever you have to do. Why do you take Sarah with you if there is a danger?
That's true.
The question.
And what is the answer?
When he was on the way, then he thought about wow, Sarah is beautiful, and maybe the king will, this is written, no?
Yes. So in other words,
he didn't realize before.
We must understand, there is a lot of, it's a very complicated story, because you have to understand what's happening here. And that's exactly, Avraham Avinu is teaching us that sometimes in life, maybe even you do mistakes. So you have to fix them. In other words, you don't always see the whole picture. And suddenly something happens, and it doesn't mean, okay, I give up. You have to find a solution. So we have to understand that in the beginning, where I think he hid her in a inside a box.
Ah, yes.
But you know, he tried to do whatever he could. Because when he wasn't looking about on Sarah as, let's say, as an object, as a physical object. For him, Sarah was Sarah Imenu, was something highly spiritual. That's what Avraham Avinu saw. He was not a normal man, normal guy.
Looking,
so now when he
is my wife.
Yes. Now when he was walking there and started seeing maybe all those people and realized how beautiful Sarah looks, says, 1 minute, I have a problem. What do I do? So then he thought about what he thought, and he did what he did. But there are difficult things in life.
Yeah.
And we don't always, sometimes, you know, as you see this, Diana Vramsky from London used to say, when he didn't have a good answer, he says, and he had an answer which was a little shady. So he used to say, I love this answer. He says, why? Because I haven't got any other. But that's, we learn, we try to understand as much as we can. And the big lesson of us is to understand and see what is the Torah trying to teach us in our daily life. So after understanding that we're going on the test with Avraham Avinu, let's see and look.
Can I ask you a
yes.
question?
Yes, Bakasha.
The episode with the Agar, I don't understand. Because how it's possible that Sarah, man, she so elevate.
Yes.
She came to Avraham and says, take my slave to consort with her.
Yes.
First of all, she doesn't believe that. Hashem told, guarantee Avraham that he will give him.
Yeah, but he didn't guarantee that Sarah's going to do it.
This happens afterwards.
No, before he took him
out.
Said,
look, that's Avraham, not Sarah.
Ah, yes, with Avraham. No, Sarah.
Well, okay,
the man doesn't come home and say to the wife, listen, I spoke with Hashem, and he told me we will have a lot of many, many children.
I will have, not we.
But that's the point.
I will have, not we. That's exactly the problem.
Okay. So let me continue. Let me continue the question.
Yes.
So then she realized that maybe it's not with her. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Not with me. But then she gave him Agar, a Shikse, an Egyptian. Yeah, but she was an Egyptian. She was an Egyptian.
She could give
other women that they convert, they convince to believe in Hashem. Why Dafke?
Who would she give?
Agar
was a tzaddikah.
She was a wonderful.
What
was
a tzaddikah?
Agar was the daughter, was a princess.
Yeah, but not
she
a tzaddikah.
She was no tzaddikah.
Because
yes.
She lived there.
No, she came to Avraham. She was prepared to be a slave in the house of Avraham Avinu to be close to the holiness.
Now this is the Paro who told her, I give you when Avraham. When he discovered all this story with Sarah, that Sarah was his wife and not his sister, Paro sent him away, gave him a lot of money, and say, "Took this my
Agar was my daughter.
because I prefer."
I don't
she
know where you read this.
She will be.
No, that's not him. She, it's her. She wanted to be in the house of Avraham.
I just learned yesterday also that it wasn't that.
I read today this.
I had a class yesterday, and the teacher said that.
He told her.
That's one of the things that they said was that he felt that she would have a better life with yes. Abraham.
That, you know what? Let's go with it. So, at the end of the day, it's the same thing.
Same idea.
So the question, and how Abraham accept this situation?
So, first, I'll ask you a different question.
You are Agar, a good Jew.
Agar is the slave girl of Sarah Imen.
Yes.
Okay? She gives her to Avram Avinu.
Yeah.
Avram Avinu is being told by her send her away.
Later.
Yeah. Now, Agar is going away. The angel reveals himself to her and tells her, go back to your mistress.
Yeah.
And she goes back. What is this whole story? What's going on
That's
here?
Right. Yeah.
What did Avram think when he didn't want to listen to Sarah? Why did Sarah say what she said? And you see the Orach Haim HaKadosh deals with it. Let's look what's written here.
Close the door. I'm sorry.
ושרי אשת אברהם לא ילדה ולא שפחה מצרית ושמה אגר. And Sarai didn't have a baby. Yeah. And she had a slave girl, the name of Hagar. Yeah. ותומר שרי אל אברהם, הננה, look, I cannot bring children to the world.
Yeah.
בוא נהל שפחתי, take my slave girl. And maybe I will be built from her, because she is my slave girl. Mm-hmm. She belongs to me. In other words, the son that is going to come out of his own to belong to who?
To him. To me.
Sarah.
To Sarah.
Yeah.
So through Agar, I will have a child.
Okay.
ותיקח שרה יש לאברהם את הגר המצרית שפחתה. Her slave girl. One minute. Now we'll get to the point. מקץ 10 שנים לשבת אברהם בארץ כנען. From this we learned that if after 10 years there is no baby, mm-hmm. you can divorce your wife and find a different wife to bring a baby to the world. ותיתן אותה לאברהם אישה, לא לאישה. And here stands the mistake. ויבוא אל הגר ותהר ותראה כי הראתה, ותקל גבירתה בעיניה. And she sees she is pregnant, so she looks at her mistress, at Sarah, who is she?
She's a wife now, so she has a big status.
ותומר שרה אל אברהם, חמסי עליך. I'm angry.
Yeah.
אנוכי נתתי שפחתי בכחך. I gave you my slave girl. ותראה כי הראת, ויקל בעיניה. She is pregnant, and she is talking, looking down to me.
Yeah.
ויאמר אברהם אל שרי, הנה שפחתך בידך. Here is your slave girl. Do whatever you want with her.
Yeah.
ותענה שרי, and Sarai is torturing her, and she is running. וימצאה המלאך, and an angel finds her.
That's right. And she was
pregnant. And he tells her, ויאמר הגר שפחת שרי. And listen, what's that? הגר, the slave girl of Sarai, where are you? What are you doing? Where are you going? ותאמר מפני שרי גבירתי, אנוכי בורחת. I'm running from Sarai, my mistress, my lady, my... ויאמר למלאך השם, שובי אל גבירתך, והתעני תחת ידה. Go back and be tortured by her.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Strange story.
Yeah.
I tell you what's happening. Orach Haim HaKadosh says, and by the way, it's a very interesting point. If a Jewish girl is married to a Canaanite slave, automatically the slave becomes free and is Jewish. And he's released.
The same way
if a Jew takes a slave girl, takes his slave girl, marries her, this minute the slave girl becomes free and she's Jewish and the child is going to be also Jewish.
Without converting.
It's automatic converting.
Yeah.
That's by the way what the story with David HaMelech and his father Ishai, that he sent the wife away and he wanted a slave girl to sleep with her, and then the baby is going to be Jewish 100%. But we're not going to go to this story, it's a different story. We haven't got a lot of time. So let's understand what's going on here. Avram Avinu, the minute he took her, he knew that now, what is Agar now? Jewish. Is she a slave girl?
No.
No.
She's
Jewish. She is his wife.
And he's Jewish.
And it's no problem. And also, who thought like this? Hagar.
And
Hagar also thought like this. But then Sarah said, I gave you my slave girl. It's my slave girl, not yours. This holds only if it's your slave girl. And she is my slave girl.
So she's not
and
Jewish.
I gave her to you as a slave girl.
That's right.
And she's still my slave girl.
Right.
And her son is also my... The son is going to come. He's also going to be my son. As a slave.
Not like
she
a
is
Jew.
Not released.
Not
as a Jew. And Hagar is running because she thinks that she is a mistress. She is a Jew now. She is released. She is married to Avram Avinu.
She's free.
But then the angel comes to her and says, sorry to tell you, you are still a slave girl. Go back to your mistress.
Mm-hmm.
So now we understand all this game. And the interesting says Or HaChaim HaKadosh that from this point we can think that if Sarah Imenu holds Hagar as her slave girl, means that Ishmael is
a goy,
a Jew,
a slave,
a slave,
and he belongs to who?
To Jews,
to us, as a slave. Mm-hmm. Very interesting part.
Yeah.
But that's the way you learn Torah. See, the thing is that this is an interesting story. We don't understand what's going on here. But the Or HaChaim HaKadosh opens our eyes. It says, Avraham Avinu looks at it in a different way. He thought she gave her to me, and that's it. So the minute she gave her to me, I married her, as she is mine, and she is now released. She's not a slave anymore. But then, Sarah came to him and says, sorry. You know, she's looking down at me. She thinks she is free. She is still my slave. You're mistaken. I didn't give her to her to marry. I gave her to her as a slave girl. And as a slave girl, she's still a slave girl, even after you've been with her, and the baby is mine. Another interesting point. Okay. I wanted to talk about other things, but...
No,
I haven't got another shiur, but okay, let's see. You have any other questions, by the way? Any questions about shiur? No, okay.
Very interesting.
It's very interesting.
Now, let's learn another big lesson for life. Let's learn about Lot a little. Who is this Lot?
Mm-hmm.
He's mentioned a lot in our parsha.
Yeah.
And he's mentioned a lot. He's mentioned a lot of Lot. So
yeah.
Let's understand, why is it so... So much.
Isn't he Abraham's brother's son?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, two things. Lot looks like Avram exactly. In other words, if you look at Lot, you see Avram Avinu.
Uh-huh.
So people could have been mistaken.
What?
Lot is very greedy. Likes money.
Greedy? What is greedy?
Greedy. Wants
life.
Money. Money, money,
desire
money, money.
Money.
Loves money.
Money.
How do we know he loves money?
Because he...
Avram Avinu is being told, go and leave the land and leave everything behind, because you're going to start something new. And when you start something new, you leave all the old things behind. In other words, you take only your wife and that's it. And suddenly we see that he takes Lot with him. So we think to ourselves, why is he taking Lot with him? So when we look very carefully in the beginning of the parsha, we see that it's not exactly that he's taking Lot, but... Vayelech ito Lot. In other words, Lot sees that Avraham wants to go, so he goes with him. And it's very interesting. Ito and yesh imo. What is the difference from ito ve'imo? Ito is with him, imo is also with him, but there is a difference. Ito, when it's written, it's we are going in the same direction, but not with the same idea. Imo, we're going in the same direction and also with the same idea. So the Torah now is telling us, Avraham, we know why he's going, because God told him to go, he's going to build a nation. And but Lot is not going with him with the same idea. He is going in the same way, but from a different reason. That's why he's ito, but not imo.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling you, every word has got a meaning. So why is he going with Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu is a rich guy. And Avraham Avinu's got no...
Children.
Who is going to inherit all the fortune?
He.
Lot. But suddenly he sees the Yerusha walking away.
Yeah.
So, hey, 1 minute, Reb Avraham, I'm coming with you. Because all the fortune is going away, so he come. So now, how can we be sure that that's the case? We see later on. When they have a fight, the shepherds of Avraham and the shepherds of Lot, and the fight is, by the way, on what? The fight is, the shepherds of Avraham take the cattle where there is Efka, where it doesn't, to field that it doesn't belong to nobody. But the shepherds of Lot take to fields that belongs to people. So the shepherds of Avraham told the shepherds of Lot, why do you take your animals to eat from others' field? That's gezel, that's stealing.
Yeah.
So they said, well, mapito. Who is going to get all this land? Avraham Avinu.
Yeah.
It's going to promise to him. Now Avraham Avinu's got no children. Who is going to get everything? Lot. So we're taking it already now. So they fight between them. Avraham Avinu listens to it and understands that there is a problem. So he comes to Lot, tells him, Lot, we are brothers. Let's not fight. You take your all your cattle and all the fortune you've got to one side, and I'll take it to the other side. You choose the side. Wherever you choose, I'm going to be to the other side. Oh, Chaim HaKadosh, by the way, says that he promises him that he's not going to go far away from him. He's going to be there to protect him, as we see later on.
Yeah.
So, says, choose, you choose. And what is he choosing? He's choosing the side where Sodom is. Why? Because it's a beautiful land. And the Torah is telling us that the people of Sodom are evil. And he puts his tent to the town of Sodom. In other words, he doesn't care about the corruption, about the evil people. He cares about what?
Money.
Now, you want to have another proof? I'll give you another proof. Then, we have this war. And who is being captured? Lot. And Nimrod is one of the kings. He is very happy about it. Why is he happy about it? Let's see how it's written.
Because of Abraham.
And why? Because of Abraham?
Only a little question. Abraham adopted Lot, no?
Yes. It was with him. Yes. He's his nephew, yes. So look at it. It's written, Vayikach et Lot ve'et rechusho. It took Lot and his property. Ben Achi Avraham. The son of the brother of Avraham. 1 minute. What does it mean?
He will ask a fortune to live.
What is his fortune? What was so important that the Torah is mentioning that they captured him and his fortune? And right away, Ben Achi Avraham. So the explanation is, what was his fortune? That he was the son of the brother of Avram, and he looked exactly like him. Nimrod had problems with Avram because he put him in a fire, and Avram went out, and there are a lot of other stories. They had problems, and everybody looked at Avram that he is on the top, and he is much lower than him. Now he could show everybody, I captured Avram. So for him, the fortune of Lot was that he looked exactly the same as Avraham Avinu. So when he was walking with his shavui, with his captive, with the one he captured, he said, here, I got Avraham. And everybody looked, wow, he won the war. But then Avraham Avinu heard about it, and he went to the war. And the Torah is telling us, Ben Achi Avraham Vayelchu Vehu Yoshev Besdom. And he sits in Sodom. 1 minute. He took him. What's the meaning he sits in Sodom? He doesn't sit in Sodom anymore. No, they captured him.
Yeah.
So what is the Torah trying to tell us? Who Yoshev Besdom? He is a part of this corrupt society of Sodom. And even when he's captured, he is still with the same mind of Sodom. How do we know? He's being released by Avraham Avinu. What would you do now? Would you go back to live with Avraham Avinu? Or would you go back to Sodom?
He goes back to Sodom.
It would be to go with Avraham.
Well, yes, he doesn't do this.
Because he wasn't that kind of a
slave. He goes to the money again.
Even though Nimrod captured him, he still wanted to go back to Nimrod.
Yeah, it says, V'hu Yoshev, Bestom. The idea is, the Torah is trying to tell us. You see, as we say, every word has got a meaning. Who is this Lot? The Torah is trying to tell us, if we are, let's say, very, let's say, greedy, and we look only about on the material, property and money, we are Lot. And in each one of us, there is a small Lot. And sometimes our decisions, we decide to live in a certain place because
there's lots of
money. And even if the environment is corrupt, look around you. Look at Jews living in all those strange places. And the only reason they live there is because of what? Money. Mm-hmm. All over the world.
They make a lot of money. Yeah.
All over the world. So the Torah is telling us. That's Terechet. We have to learn. The lesson is very clear. Be aware. Because if you go and live with corrupt people, what's going to happen to you?
You'll be corrupt.
And that's what happened to Lot. Lot become one of the people of Sdom. V'hu Yoshev b'Sdom. And this is unbelievable. And that's another lesson that we learn from our parsha.
So why Hashem saved him when he destroyed Sdom? Why he saved Lot?
Because he was the son of the brother of Avram Avinu.
And merit of
you see,
Abraham.
When
Kodesh Baruch Hu, of Abraham.
And it's not only this. At the end of the way, from Lot comes the Mashiach.
Yeah,
don't forget.
This, I know.
That I'm saying that's
that's
the plan of God. You know, that's the plan of God. But let's look at it from the other side. The other side is very if. Do you think Avraham Avinu loves Lot?
Yeah,
I think.
We see. He goes on a whole wharf to save his nephew.
Of course.
So he loves him. Yeah. Now, if God is going to kill him, is Avraham Avinu going to be sorry?
Yeah, of course.
He was sorry for the people of Sdom that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So God, because of Avraham, saved him. Of course, God needed a reason to save him. Something good to do. So they say, why did he save him? Because when Avraham Avinu went with Sarah, he didn't tell that Sarah is his wife. Because he was very greedy. Remember, as we said. And this is a real... God tests us where there is a problem. In other words, Lot could be a very nice guy. But the minute there is money in the area, what will he do?
Right.
Anything to get the money. In other words, now he's got the opportunity. Avraham Avinu with Sarah going to Egypt. If he tells the Egyptian that Sarah is his wife, what are they going to do?
Kill
Avraham. And who is going to get all the fortune? Take Sarah.
Lot.
And who is left with all the fortune?
Lot.
Is he telling?
No.
So you see that there was a love there. And there was money, a lot of money involved, and still, he didn't do it. Some people think that because he took the visitors that came to him, the angels, that's the reason he was saved. So we can say that it's one another thing, but the real truth is, when we get to the parsha, we'll talk about it. It's not a big deal to take angels to your house. And he saw that they were angels. So the big deal for him that saved him was the test, the real test for him was money. And that's again another lesson of the test that we go through. Each one of us is going to be tested where he should be tested. It's no chokhmah to test somebody where he's got no problems. So Bezrat Hashem, I wish for all of us that we have our lech lecha and that God is going to test us easy. Give us easy tests. Bezrat Hashem. Easy, that we can't get.
Amen. Correct.